Good evening. It is really great to see you. I hope that you've had a really great day. It's been a beautiful day. We have been richly blessed today in so many different ways. Thankful for those who've been able to be here in this place and so we could worship together. Thankful for those who have joined us from wherever you might be. Join us online. We're thankful for that. It's just been a great, great opportunity to be together, worship together. And then God blessed us with such a beautiful day. Appreciate Larry pointing that out in his prayer that the beauty of God has truly been seen today in a number of ways. Such a blessing today. So I hope you were able to spend a little bit of time with family. Certainly hope that you took a little bit of time to reflect upon the blessings that God has shared with us as you enjoyed the sunshine and the warm weather and all of these things. Reflected upon how special it is to know that we serve a God who loves us and sent His Son to die for us, but who reigns in victory and has conquered death, and so we don't have to be afraid of death. Just a blessing to think about those things. Let me share something with you, sort of shifting gears a little bit from that as we, you know, are so thankful for the way that God has blessed us, but let's also think about some of our family members who are having a difficult time. Becky Spear called the church office just about 40 minutes ago, not too long before, about 5:30, because Bill Spear was at that time, about 5:30, was in an ambulance on his way to the hospital with chest pains. And so she is asking that we remember Bill in our prayers. And so I wanted to be sure and make a note of that and say that before you so that you can be thinking about and praying for Bill and be checking on Bill and Becky as that moves forward. So let's pray that he is doing okay. So tonight we're ready to look at the book of Habakkuk. We have been looking book by book, week by week, in search of good news from these Old Testament books. As we've been going through these prophets, we've seen a number of patterns develop, if you will. And this prophet Habakkuk is going to get back to that. And Nahum had sort of deviated from the pattern that we were used to with some of these great prophets. But Habakkuk gets us back into a familiar territory where he's going to emphasize the importance of and the value of prayer. That's been a recurring theme among many of the prophets. Habakkuk utilizes prayer. That's something that it's one thing to talk about how prayer is powerful and to make mention of the fact that prayer is useful. It doesn't do us any good if we don't engage in it. It's just like having a tool in the shed or something useful in the kitchen, whatever it might be. You might have the greatest tools in the world. If you don't ever use them, what good do they do you? The same thing, we can extol the greatness of prayer if we don't utilize it, don't engage in it. It doesn't do us any good, and he's going to engage. But also, the prophets we have seen have had this pattern. They will offer messages of judgment, messages of doom, saying that because of your sin, here's the punishment, the divine, righteous, holy punishment that's coming. But then we've been encouraged by the way they end with a message of hope. Habakkuk does that too. He will talk about pain and judgment that will be righteously handed out by God upon those who rebel, upon those who sin. But then the book will close in such a beautiful way with such a message of hope, a stirring message of hope that we will see is truly wonderful news. Someone has said, I don't remember who it was, but I'm thankful for this message. And I think of it when I think about the book of Habakkuk, that Habakkuk starts with sobbing and ends with singing. And that's exactly what happens here. He begins with a message of weeping and lamenting, and so he starts with sobbing, but by the time it's over with, we end with singing. And that is a great way to think about many of the things that we go through in life. We will face difficulties, we will face challenges, but if we will remain faithful, if we will remain trusting in the Almighty, all-powerful God, we end with singing. I think about the way Paul wrote in Romans 8:18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time can't be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. If we will continue faithful, through this time of sobbing, the singing is coming. And that's the very message that he gave. So, quick background on the book of Habakkuk. This is a message that was given just prior to the southern kingdom of Judah being overthrown by Babylon, right? You know your Bible history. You know that there was once upon a time under Saul and David and Solomon, there was just one grand, glorious kingdom of Israel. But then with Solomon's children, it splits. And there's a northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah. As time goes by, the northern kingdom of Israel will be taken away into captivity by Assyria. Well, then as more time goes by, soon enough, the southern kingdom of Judah will be taken away into captivity by Babylon. So where we find Habakkuk is in that time after Israel has gone into captivity and just before Judah is destroyed by Babylon. So if you're trying to put a timeline, a time frame into your mind and get set contextually in world history, as Habakkuk gives his message, Judah is on the brink of destruction. Babylon is really breathing down their necks. It won't be long before they kick through the gates and burn everything down and take them away. And so this message from Habakkuk is just prior to that. What's happened is that Judah has rebelled. They have sinned. And they soon will be punished. That's what Babylon's coming to do. But then the continued message is, but Babylon's also going to be punished. Babylon's not going to get away with their sinful actions. They will come and be my arm of punishment upon you, but then they will also be punished. If you go through chapter 2, there's what's called five different woes. You know, when you get a message of woe from a prophet of God to the people, it is not good. It's a message of, the message of woe is one of pain and destruction, judgment that is coming. And we see in chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, Babylon's going to be destroyed because they were violent. And then in 9 through 11, they're going to be destroyed because they didn't help others. They stored up their riches and they got richer and richer on the backs of others by stepping on others. They built their wealth by sin and by selfish means. They were worldly. They were lascivious. You look there in verses 15 through 17 and it speaks of how wicked it was for them to put these drinks before others to try and get them drunk and to get their minds addled so they could take advantage of them and do terrible things. They're going to be destroyed for that. And then in 2, 18 through 20, it speaks of idolatry. All of these things are what Babylon has done that's going to lead to their downfall. So in other words, if this is what's going to lead to their downfall, what should you do? Avoid this. Steer clear of all these things. Don't be one who oppresses others. Don't be one who takes advantage of others. Don't be one who steps on others in order to get higher up. Be one who looks to the Lord instead of self. So that's just a little bit of a background. One of the major things that Habakkuk helps us deal with and helps us work through and understand is what we call the problem of evil. You know what I mean whenever I say the problem of evil, right? That oftentimes whenever someone is going to say they have a problem with their faith, they have a problem with God, they have a problem with being faithful, some even going so far as to say they have a problem even admitting that there is a God, when you press them to the point of saying, why is it that you're doubting? Why is it that you're skeptical? Why is it that you refuse to believe? One answer very, very often given is because of the way I've suffered. And that is something that is happening here. You look at this verse of chapter 1, verse 2. Look at Habakkuk 1, 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry out for help, and you will not hear? How much longer can I be in pain? How much longer can I exist in this misery, and you just ignore me? I cry out to you, violence. In other words, I'm being overrun with pain. There's violence that's raining down upon me. There's violence that I see in others. I cry out to you, God, help, help. And he says, how long will I cry out like that and you won't save? How much longer can I be in pain and you just ignore me? Who among us has not said something similar to that? Being in pain and you don't know why? Going through such difficulties and you can't see end in sight. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. And we cry out to God for guidance. We cry out to God for help. Well, there's a lot of different ways to answer why is there evil and why is there so much evil and why am I experiencing so much pain? some of the answers that are given here in Habakkuk would be these. When you say, why is there evil? Why is there suffering? Well, one of the answers is because people are evil. That's one of the reasons why there's so much suffering. People are wicked. He says, look at Babylon. Look at what they do. That's what we just looked at in chapter 2. Look at the way they just march through and just hurt people. Look at the way they scare people. Look at the way they just take advantage of people. You suffer because people are just wicked and sinful and mean. That's one of the reasons why we suffer. But we also suffer because we're evil. We suffer because we do sinful things. We bring pain and we bring punishment upon ourselves. Here's the message. Sin has consequences. So sometimes if you want to cry out to God, Lord, why? Lord, how much longer? The answer is sin. Sin has consequences. When we sin, it hurts. It's not just someone else. It's not just always someone else marching through and stomping down our gate and stepping on our neck. Sometimes we bring it upon ourselves. The way we've treated others, the things that we've done, we reap what we sow, the Lord will say again and again. But also, Habakkuk not only helps us see that sometimes we suffer because other people are so mean, sometimes we suffer because we sin, but also it's just the case here that sometimes we suffer because God is working out His plan and we just don't see the end yet. Evil will continually be punished. Maybe I should say it this way. Evil will eventually be punished. And so what He's calling on us to do is that in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the pain, in spite of the heartache, in spite of the suffering, He's calling on us to stay faithful. God tells us here in Habakkuk 2:4, behold, his soul is puffed up and it's not upright within him. He says that's what the wicked one will do. He'll be puffed up and will be taken down. But listen to this, but the righteous shall live by his faith. That's picked up in Romans 1:7, Galatians 3:11, and in the text we studied this morning, Hebrews 10:38. That message of the righteous living by faith is brought out again and again and again by the New Testament. Because here's what the message is. Here's what he means when he says there in Habakkuk 2:4 that the righteous will live by faith. It's in this context of when things are difficult, when things are hard, when other people are stepping on you, that the faithful will keep on trusting in spite of how dark it gets, in spite of how difficult things seem to be at the time. The faithful, those who trust God, know God, love God, won't throw in the towel. Here's kind of the way this conversation goes in these first two chapters of Habakkuk. The conversation goes like this between God and the prophet. The prophet Habakkuk says, how long, Lord? How much longer do we have to suffer? We are suffering mightily. We're suffering greatly. It is so hard, so difficult. How much longer? Here's God's response. I'm taking care of it. Don't worry, I'm taking care of it. In fact, here's how I'm taking care of it. I'm sending Babylon in to punish you. The prophet says, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're wicked. And things are bad, and we need your help. But did you just say you're sending Babylon in? Babylon's way, way worse than us. We're bad, we're sinners, but on the scale, they're way worse than us, he says. And so God responds again. He says, look, I'm telling you, just wait. It will all work out to my glory. You'll be punished by them, and then they will be punished as well. It's all going to work out, and you will see, and it will be to my majesty and to my glory. It will be to my praise when all of these things have worked out. Now, that's the basic gist of what's happening here in these first couple of chapters of Habakkuk. Let me zero in for a moment on the concept of prayer and get to our first lesson about finding good news. Because we've seen over and over and over again these prophets saying, I pray, and here's what happens when I do, and the people pray, and here's what happens when they do. And so that's emphasized over and over. And here's what he says here. We're going to learn that prayer is powerful, that it's useful, that it makes a difference, and that it's doing all these things, it's making a difference, even when we don't recognize that it is. Because you go back here to these opening lines of Habakkuk 1, And when he says, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry out for help and you won't hear?" Do you see what the implication is? I have been begging and pleading and crying to you over and over and over. My voice is hoarse. I've lost the ability to keep crying out. My tears are dry. I've cried so much. I've just been calling out and calling out, and you've just ignored me. But the response is, God says, "No, I'm way ahead of you. I'm way ahead of you. You don't know it, but the wheels have been in motion for quite some time. In fact," this is what God says, "in fact, Babylon is already on their way. Just wait and see." So here's one major point. It may not be how we pictured it. It might not be how we draw it up. But the Lord hears and He acts. And so often, whenever we make these statements to God, "God, haven't you seen me? God, haven't you heard me?" The response that God would give is, "I'm way ahead of you. The wheels have been in motion for a long time. And from where I sit, from where I observe these things," and you should feel the same way, "this is good news. That I don't have to be in charge. I don't have to be in control. What I have to do is trust the all-powerful, all-knowing one who is. I pour my heart out to Him. I plead with Him. I share with Him what is happening. And then I allow Him to be God. I allow Him to do what needs to be done." Because His response to me is going to be, "The wheels are in motion. I'm taking care of it." And then I can rest secure in that. So that's the first thing to think of. The second one is this: God, in His wisdom and in His power, is absolutely going to gain victory and glory. Now, we don't know the time frame. We don't know the way in which it will work out specifically. But as Habakkuk complains here in the opening chapter, and then God answers him at the end of chapter 1. And then at the end of chapter 1, Habakkuk will offer a second complaint. In chapter 2, God will respond. But I want you to go to chapter 3. Where in chapter 3 we have what is labeled by some as Habakkuk's prayer of praise. Habakkuk offering a song of praise to God and worship of Him, acknowledging how great He is. Listen to what is written here in Habakkuk 3 verse 2 beginning. "O Lord, I have heard the report of You and Your work. O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. I know that Your wrath is coming, and so what I'm pleading for You is for You to be merciful to me." Remember the story that Jesus told about the tax collector and the Pharisee who went to the temple to pray. And the way that the tax collector offered his prayer: "Be merciful to me, a sinner. I know what I deserve. I know what is coming from Your divine hand, but I'm pleading for mercy." Habakkuk says, "In Your wrath, remember mercy." God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from His hand. There He veiled His power. Before Him went pestilence, and plague followed at His heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered, and everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. A picture is being painted of one who is vast beyond all comprehension, so big and so powerful that just from a thought, a word, a movement, all of what to us are the most powerful, most majestic of mountains, the deepest and scariest of valleys, to this being, to God, they're nothing. He says in verse 7, "I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Those who under other circumstances are causing other people to be afraid, they themselves are trembling when they put themselves in front of this being." Verse 8, "Was Your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was Your anger against the rivers, or Your indignation against the sea? When You rode on Your horses, on Your chariot of salvation, You stripped the sheath from Your bow, calling for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw You, and they writhed. The raging water swept on. The deep gave forth its voice, and it lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place at the light of Your arrows as they sped. at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury, and you threshed the nations in anger. You came and meted out holy justice. Now I want you to note verse 13. There's plenty of discussion as to what exactly is happening here in verse 13, if it's making reference to the nation as a whole, the kingdom, what it might be. But I want you to hear this in light of a message of the gospel, a message of looking for the one who will come and make everything right, looking on the horizon from the prophets telling us about what God has in store in order to make sin a thing of the past, to make injustice right. He says, we're looking for this one. Look at verse 13. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. Now, does that make you think? Do you hear anything familiar there in those lines? That the one who would be the Lord's anointed would be the one who would make a difference to everything, specifically saying that what he would do is crush the head of the wicked. You'd be hard-pressed not to think back to Genesis 3:15. We're back there in Genesis 3 in the context there of the Lord speaking to the man, the woman, and the serpent. And he says there in that context that there's coming a time where the serpent would strike the heel of the descendant of the woman. Remember, the woman's going to give birth, and to the one that she will give birth to, it will change the balance of the world. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 would speak of at the fullness of time, at just the right time in human history, the Lord would be born of a woman. Well, back in Genesis 3, we see that the serpent would strike the heel of the seed, but that he would crush his head. The Lord would make all things right. It would look like Satan had won, but the Lord would be victorious. And so he says here, you crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. You pierced his own arrows, the heads of his warriors, or with his own arrows, the heads of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. I hear, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will wait quietly for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. Here's the message to consider here. Patience and faithfulness combined with righteous fear. The type of fear we're talking about here is that reverent obedience and submission given to the one who can cause mountains to quake, the one who can speak and all things come into existence. Before him we should bow. Before him we should be in a complete state of awe. And so patience and faithfulness and fear will eventually be rewarded. I hear, I tremble, I quiver, but I'm going to wait quietly. Now note what he's waiting for here. He's going to wait quietly for the day of trouble. He's going to wait for the Babylonians to come. Because you see, here's what's happened. God has said they were coming. God has said the Chaldeans, God has said the Babylonians are coming and they will overrun you. So it's true. He knows it's going to happen. So I will wait patiently for that. You've said it's coming. I know it will. But go back to 2:20. Where in 2:20 he said, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. You and I must stand reverently, humbly, submissively before the Almighty God. See, there in 2:20, he's speaking of a time in which we recognize there's one who is great and he will reward. In 3:16, he's speaking of the one who says, I am holy and I will punish. And in both cases, he says that what is the right thing to do is to patiently and quietly and reverently stand before him and wait. And then he closes it with this. These great lines that are so special and so powerful and ought to be committed to the hearts of those who love the Lord. We spoke this morning at great length from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, about what faith is, what faith looks like, what faith offers us, how faith is that which connects conviction and assurance with hope. That I can stand in this place because of what Christ did and is doing. I can know what my future holds. I can know that one day I shall look upon His wonderful face, as we sang a moment ago, because I've been bought by His blood. And so I can face anything. I can face any ugliness, any hardship, any heartache, knowing what lies in store. And so here's what Habakkuk says. The one who knows. Now keep in mind, Habakkuk knows that Nebuchadnezzar and his war machine is marching its way to his town. If you knew some powerful, wicked enemy, some dangerous foe was just outside your door, would you say, I'm ready because I love the Lord? I'm ready because I know Him. I'm ready because... Or would you be terrified? Well, here's what he says. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. You understand what he's saying? Take every penny I have. Take every material thing. Take every item that once upon a time I put stock in as special. All those things that I thought once upon a time identified me as someone who was powerful. I thought those things made me who I am. Take all of that. Take food, take treasure, take everything. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. He says, you can take all of those things. Take all the money, all the food, all the trappings of this world, but give me the Lord and I stand. Give me the Lord and I can't be shaken. Give me the Lord and I can't be knocked down. Give me the Lord and I'll not be thrown down off the mountain. I'm as firm and I'm as stable and I'm as sure-footed as that beautiful, amazing deer that God made. The Lord is my strength. He's the one who takes care of me. He's the one who sets me up. He's the one who protects me. He's the one who rewards me. Habakkuk began with sobbing, but he ends with singing the praises of God. If we will remain faithful to the Lord, we will find ourselves in the same place. You see, there's good news embedded in all of this destruction and all this message of those overthrowing and taking captive and doing all these things. It's that the Lord continues to see, the Lord continues to bless, the Lord continues to know, and He continues to reward those who remain faithful. So if you and I might truly say, no matter what else may come, no matter what else might happen to me, I will not fear because I fear the Lord. When I stand before Him, I'm ready. And I say, no matter what else happens, I will trust Him, I will follow Him, I will love Him because He loves me. If there's any way that we can help you stand like a deer in a place where you will not fall, any way that we can connect you with the One who protects, any way we can connect you with Jesus the Christ, whose blood forgives and saves, then we want to take advantage of that opportunity while we stand and sing together.